Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today we continue our study of God's plan through the ages. This time we'll be looking at the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, as was the case last week as we focused on the first 12 chapters of Genesis, a 2,000-year period of time from Adam to Abraham. This week we look at the record of the fall of man, the flood, and the human family, and where the nations of the world actually came from. There is a very definite connection between the biblical accounts of creation, the flood, and Bible prophecy, which will be very evident in our study today. Let's begin our study by reflecting on Satan's creation and his fall in Genesis 1, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 3.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
The place of prominence was given to Lucifer. He was above all of creation, looking over all of it. And then all of a sudden, a couple of days later, in fact, Lucifer was created on the first day of creation. On the sixth day of creation, he brings man into existence, lower than him in creation, and he makes him the king or the ruler, or giving him dominion over all creation. This ticks off Lucifer, so he puts in place a subtle strategy. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent, that's Lucifer in the form of a snake, was more subtle. A subtle strategy puts in place than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What does he do? He asks a simple little question, pricking the conscience of Eve. She knows exactly what the Lord said. Look at the next thing he does, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, and we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Now that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. But wait a minute. The Lord said, ye shall not eat of it, but look what Eve says. Neither shall ye touch it. That's not in the scriptures. That has nothing to do with what God said to Eve. And so because of that piercing little question that Lucifer, Satan, used in his subtle strategy, Eve now starts getting all confused. Look here at verse 4. And the serpent said unto her, woman, ye shall not surely die if you eat of that tree. What are you talking about? Again, the subtle strategy. Chapter 3. The fall of man. Chapter 4, it's the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, twin brothers probably, if not very close in their births, they come into existence. The first two sons we have recorded here in the Bible of Adam and Eve. You know the story, both of them bring a sacrifice. Cain brings his sacrifice from his garden, from all the fruit that he had. Abel brings his sacrifice from his flock, and he sacrifices an animal, sheds blood. This is setting the stage for every bit of salvation theology to come into existence. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the Lord looks favorably upon Abel's sacrifice and is a bit discouraged about what Cain brings. This irritates Cain. He has a fit of some type, ultimately ended up killing his brother. Then another son is born. Look here at the last part of chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed. Now in chapter 3, the Lord, of course, told Eve that she would have a son who would ultimately be the Messiah, chapter 3 and verse 15. And she thought maybe Seth was going to be the one. But notice what verse 26 says. And to Seth, to him also there was a son born. He called his name Enos. Then began men, notice this, then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. And so reaching out to the world was a possibility after Seth came on the scene. In the times of Seth, men started calling upon the name of the Lord. And so that's chapter 4. Chapter 5 of the book of Genesis is a genealogy. Please do not skip over genealogies. Genealogies are key to your understanding of what God is wanting to say to us. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, the genealogies as well. We see a genealogy here in chapter 5 from Adam to Noah. The first one mentioned is Adam, the last one mentioned is Noah. When I get to chapter 6 and tell you the reason for the flood, you'll understand why this was a key component and why God selected Noah and his three sons and their four wives to be the only survivors of a worldwide flood. And so as you read through this genealogy, by the way, this gives us the time period from creation until the flood, 1,500 years. You can add up the numbers as well as I can. No gaps in this genealogy. Absolutely no gaps. It's 1,500 years, basically, almost on target from the time of creation all the way to the time of the flood. Now notice what we read here about a man named Enoch, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is in a genealogy. The first time in history a man appeared on the earth, but then he disappeared from the earth and he walked into the heavenlies alive. He has to come back. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. This is a key in our understanding of Bible prophecy. What's history? Having a systematic interpretation of the past. Having a unified principle to help us put the past with the present. Chapter 6, 7, and 8 is Noah and the flood. The reason for the flood is found in chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass when men begat to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God. Now that sons of God phrase is used 6 times in Scripture. It's used over in Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, and Job chapter 38. In Job chapter 38, it's talking about those angels. The text talks about in Job chapter 38, angels were there when God created the earth and they shouted for joy, and it's referred to as sons of God in that passage. Sons of God here in chapter 6 of the book of Genesis are angels. They're going to have sexual relationship with human women. They're going to develop the Nephilim. These are going to be giants upon the world, the land. One of the reasons that God found Noah perfect. Look what it says here in verse 9 of chapter 6. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That doesn't mean he was without sin. All men have been born in sin. He was perfect without an angelic, evil angelic blood strain in his body. How do I know it? I read the genealogies from Adam to Noah. There's no evil angels listed in the genealogies. This is absolutely God's word. By understanding a systematic interpretation of history, I can understand what happened. And so God is going to wipe out humankind. Additional subtle strategy for Satan. When he could not confuse enough to accomplish his ultimate goal, Adam and Eve, he then decided to contaminate the human race. The promise of the Messiah was given, Genesis 3:15. What is he going to do? He's going to contaminate the human race so they can't have a pure Messiah that comes forth. Well, chapter 6 is the reason for the flood. Chapter 7 is the retribution of the flood. What happens in chapter 8, the renewal after the flood. These animals and Noah and his three sons and their four wives were in, they were in the ark, and if you study the numbers in chapters 7 and 8, you'll understand they were in the ark 377 days. A year and 12 days they were there, and then ultimately the ground dried out, and God gave in chapter 9 a command to Noah. That's chapter 9, Noah after the flood, chapter 9 and verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, repeople the earth. By the way, in chapter 9 and verse 6, he establishes human government. And this is key because the Lord is going to use human government throughout all of history to accomplish his ultimate goal. It says in chapter 17, verse 17 of the book of Revelation, and God put in the minds of these men, political world leaders, evil political world leaders, because they're alive in the tribulation period, to do what he wanted to have done. In chapter 17, verse 17, it's the destruction of the false church. And then to move into not ecclesiastical Babylon, but economic Babylon in chapter 18. But he establishes human government, verse 6 of chapter 9. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Because God created man in his image, you murder somebody, and you do that, you have to pay the responsibility that comes from that because human government has been set up. The ultimate purpose of human government is to protect life, and that is accomplished with capital punishment. I don't have to debate capital punishment as a political concept. I simply read the Word of God, and what God's Word says is what should be happening. There's no debate. You don't have to argue with me about it. Chapter 10. Chapter 10 is another genealogy, but it is indeed, again, the record of obedience by Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their four wives. They are going to move out and do what the Lord said. He said in chapter 9 and verse 1, be fruitful, multiply, repeople the earth. Chapter 10, look what it says here in chapter 10. It's talking about Japheth and Ham and Shem, the sons of Japheth, and he lists the sons. Now notice verse 5. And by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Nations come into existence here in chapter 10, verse 5. Japheth moves out. He's going to teach his family, he is raising now, a new language. There was all one language in the world in chapter 11. That's how Nimrod came to power and established a great city and establish a false religiosity. Chapter 11, verse 4. When the Lord came down and confused the languages, these people had to learn new languages. Japheth would raise a family, teach his family the new language, and move to a location someplace in the world because God had said, be fruitful and repeople the earth, and he establishes a nation. Where do you think nations come from? Notice he said his sons. Let me show you who his sons are. Go back to verse 2. Gomer and Magog, skip a couple, Tubal and Meshech, go over the last one in verse 3, Tagarma. Well, those are prophetic names found in Ezekiel 38. But who are they? Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, Tagarma, Magog. Well, Japheth took his family up into Magog, which is his son Magog's location there above the Caspian and Black Sea to a place called Russia. Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, Tagarma. Look at any biblical historic map, and you'll see in the times of Asia Minor, the times of the missionary journeys, that there was one country that was divided into four parts, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, Tagarma. That's modern-day Turkey. And so you start to see how nations come into existence.
The record of how modern-day nations came into existence some 4,500 years ago after the flood, as described in Genesis chapter 10, is a key component in Bible prophecy. More on that in our studies ahead in this series, God's Plan Through the Ages. Next week, we'll continue our study of the first 12 chapters of Genesis, from Adam to Abraham. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up until...